You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
The perfume that she wore was from some little store on the downside of town, and it lingered on long after she'd gone. I remember it well. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan from Panama City, Florida, Michael Roth. Michael, I know we've been talking about this for a long time, so welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm glad to be here. It was very nice of you to invite me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. So, since this is your first visit with us, I have to ask you the hazing question, which is, how did you first get into Lightfoot's music?
Well, I think my first exposure, when I was in grade school, I was a fan of Peter, Paul, and Mary, because, you know, this was the Puff of the Magic Dragon days. But they did In the Early Morning Rain. And it wasn't until high school that I started learning guitar and really getting into that. But from the Peter, Paul, and Mary songbook, they had the tablature to In the Early Morning Rain. So that was like one of the first songs that I learned, and I really liked that song a lot. But what really made me a fan of Lightfoot was, you know, If You Could Read My Mind, which came out during that period of high school days. I don't know what that was, the 60s, I guess. I don't know what year that was. Anyway, I was very attracted to him, the poetry of the lyrics in that song, which I think is really one of his top two or three songs, really, you know, in terms of craftsmanship and just the beauty of the song and the structure of it. I was a Gordon Lightfoot fan from, you know, among many other songwriters that I loved, but he was definitely one of the big influences on me. The energy of his songs, his voice is great.
What is it more generally that you like about his music? You've mentioned the two songs that really hit you when you were in high school, but if you could sum it up, what do you like about Lightfoot's music?
Well, I like the energy of his songs. I like the sound of his voice. He just seems to have a way of really engaging the listener into what he's talking about. The interesting stories that he comes up with, those are the things. Of course, he had a lot of competition back then. We had someone that was like aware of. You know, it was interesting. I was just watching, If You Could Read My Mind, the documentary of Lightfoot. And they talk a lot about that, how there was all this interaction between Dylan, which who became friends with, of course. And, of course, Dylan influenced everybody, changed things for everybody. And then the Beatles, of course. It was just an era of great stuff. And it really spurred him to start really writing and to write better songs. Personally, he kind of reminds me of John Denver, who was, I think, an underappreciated singer-songwriter. You know, they both have those clear, strong voices and great melodies, but they didn't really get the real recognition they deserved. Although Lightfoot did achieve some real status there, not just in Canada, but in the United States, which was amazing. I think that was one of the things that really made him stand out was, as a Canadian writer, he was able to, you know, compete head-to-head with American songwriters.
Well, you know, you mentioned John Denver, and the two of them did have a bit of a relationship. And I think there are some certain similarities between the kind of work that they did. Lightfoot didn't get as lampooned quite as much as John Denver did, but both enormous talents, you know, musically, both vocally and instrumentally. Have you seen Lightfoot live, and what was the experience like?
Well, a long time ago, and honestly, I don't remember when or specifically where it was, but it was in a gym, I think at a university at Georgetown, and it was just him and Red Shea. It wasn't like one of these huge auditoriums or anything, but it was pretty packed, and I wasn't too far from him. And I thought it was just very interesting. Of course, I was just there, you know, as a fan and just enjoying it, so whatever he was going to do was probably be what I liked. One of the things that struck me was how short he was. I didn't realize he's not like a midget or anything, but and I'm not a big person either. So I always appreciate that when I see somebody who's not 6'4" and, you know,
Right.
And you know what else really impressed me? I think I mentioned that Red Shea, his backup guitarist, I really noticed him at that. Just the way he was able to carry the whole orchestration of the song with just a guitar. That was really impressive. He obviously had good tastes in side musicians.
Oh, absolutely. And he's always taken a lot of pride in the backup bands that he's had. So no question about that. Have you had the pleasure of meeting Lightfoot yet?
No, I never have actually shook his hand or talked to him, even though I probably could have when I saw him in concert. But I was kind of a shy person and you know, didn't usually do that sort of thing. And wouldn't even know what to say. You know, it's like, oh, I like your stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of says it all. And there's probably nothing we could say to him that wouldn't be a cliche to some degree or another.
Yeah.
Well, today we're talking about Affair on 8th Avenue. And I was curious, this is a song that is very pretty, but it is describing something that a lot of people probably don't consider to be a good thing. So I guess what I'm wondering is, why did you enjoy the song? Why did you want to talk about it today?
Well, you know, in looking through his songs, that one I had never heard before. And when I listened to it, I was struck by how pretty it was. I mean, that's one of the things that I like Denver. You know, he is really able to come up with these gorgeous melodies, you know, just one after the other. And this was definitely one of them. And most of his songs are very energetic. He was really into that, you know, driving rhythm thing. So this was a little different. I mean, there are other songs of his that are soft and delicate, but this was one, they're not as common, I think, as more like the driving story songs. And I liked the poetry of it. You know, I liked the way the story was told. I just thought it was a beautiful song. You know, maybe I'll get a chance to learn it someday. I don't play covers, right, you know, myself very often, although I keep telling myself I should, because that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, sure.
But that would be one I would do. That's the thing is, when, you know, when I did covers, when I, you know, and when I do them now, I'd probably pick the ones that nobody heard, so they wouldn't know the difference between, you know, the original songs.
Ah, clever. Okay.
I mean, I'm not in order to do that, but just that, you know, instead of picking the top hits, I'd be picking some obscure thing that they never heard.
So. Right. Yeah. Not trying to steal somebody else's thunder. But on the other hand, you know, they're going to tune in and say, oh, I haven't heard this before, you know, as opposed to something you've heard on the radio over and over again. I think for me, it's a stark recollection of what apparently actually happened, kind of a tawdry affair. It's very simple. It's very beautiful. And he manages to not be cliche about it. I mean, there's no, you know, illusions about, okay, this is forever love, or this is the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to me. And he remembers it so vividly that in less than 3 minutes, he really did tell the whole story. I mean, he could have probably written a novel about this thing, but in less than 3 minutes, he's said everything that needed to be said about the relationship. One commenter on YouTube said, "This song makes me remember something that never happened to me."
Yeah.
And that kind of says it all.
Yeah, I remember seeing that and that is a really great quote.
Yeah. Without trying to delve too much into your personal life, do you have any anecdotal stories about the song?
Well, I tried researching this song, and it's really difficult to find anything. And it was dropped from his album when it first came out. And I kind of think that, I mean, he talks about, you know, now about wishing he had never done "That's What You Get for Loving Me."
Right.
You know, he feels embarrassed about it. And I kind of think that maybe he was feeling that about this song at the time. And since, you know, it was never, as far as I know, it got really promoted or anything. So I do think it really was a little more confessional than maybe he retrospectively intended, you know.
But I think you're right. And he hasn't performed it very much in his repertoire. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Is there a good setting for you to listen to this? Could you listen to it anytime, any place, any kind of weather? Or do you feel like the best setting to listen to it would be in a certain place, a certain time, certain climate, whatever?
Well, you know, I think it's a song, you know, if it came on the radio, you wouldn't turn it off. But, you know, driving through a snowstorm, it might be a nice song to listen to. Something where, you know, you don't have a lot of distractions around. You're not going to want to get up and dance.
Oh, no.
No, you want to sit and listen to it and think about those words and, you know, what he's trying to say and everything. I don't know if it's totally confessional, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, we will. I think for me, I always think of the beginning of it being on a rainy day. And if it were a movie, you'd have the camera giving this external shot of this building on 8th Avenue in New York City. And they kind of close in on a window. And through the window, you see Gordon and this woman.
Yeah.
But it would be upstairs. I mean, it wouldn't be on the ground floor. So that's where my mind always goes when I hear this song. And so that's why I think on a day like today, when we're recording in Northern California, it is raining.
Yeah.
Fairly hard. Ooh. And I did listen to Lightfoot on the way home from work today, and I'll probably play this song a little bit later because it's just the perfect setting for it for my own psyche. But yeah, researching the song, I found out a couple of things. Lightfoot did meet this woman at the Cellar Door in Washington, D.C., which was a club where he was playing with Red and I guess with John Stockfish. He found out that she was a waitress at the Playboy Club in New York City. And during that tour, or maybe at the end of the tour, he spirited away from his bandmates and flew up to New York to see her. And the two of them had a rendezvous in her apartment. It's not clear whether she was married. We know that he was. And so he was the one having the affair, although we both know it takes two to tango. That's all I could find out. Did I miss anything?
No, that was, I probably read the same thing you did in it. In some ways, you know what this reminds me of is there's a song by Leonard Cohen called Chelsea Hotel, I think. That's, in a sense, a parallel about an affair. Of course, that was with a famous person. I guess she's dead, so we can say Janis Joplin apparently okay. Was the person. It's, of course, a very, very different kind of scenario. This is not, this is just somebody who is alluring just because of who she is, not because of any accoutrements of fame or notoriety or fortune or talent, as we know.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.